The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Texas Republicans have voted to arrest more than 50 Democratic legislators who fled the state to block a redistricting plan that would benefit Republicans. Because two-thirds of the 150 legislators were not present to vote on the plan, a quorum could not be achieved and the vote could not take place. And now Republican Governor Greg Abbott has threatened bribery charges and he signed civil arrest warrants for the Democrats who are not in the state. Republican Speaker of the Texas House, Justin Burroughs, had this to say.
I am prepared to recognize a motion to place a call on the House and any other motions necessary to compel the return of absent members. Should such a motion prevail, I will immediately sign the warrants for the civil arrest of the members who have said they will not be here. As Speaker, I will do everything in my power to establish quorum and move this body forward by any and all means available to this office.
Well, now I'm joined by Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Pat.
I have a feeling this is utterly unprecedented.
Actually, no. Texas tried to pull this off about 20 years ago when they wanted to redistrict in the middle of the term where it's supposed to be, and they did issue arrest warrants for the Democrats who left the state. But the level that this has gone to, yes, that is unprecedented, because now you have Democratic governors in New York, Chicago, or Illinois, and California offering support to the fleeing Democratic lawmakers from Texas, and also saying that, hey, if Texas does this, we're going to try to do it too.
Now, how do those numbers balance? I mean, if every blue state decided to redistrict to favor the Democrats and every red state decided to redistrict to favor the Republicans, who would win in that that standoff?
Most likely it would be the Democrats, because you would, besides Texas, you have Florida, which is a Republican state, but then you have California, Illinois, and New York. And in New York, for instance, they're saying, well, if you do five, we're going to do 10. So you're getting into a this for that situation. But entirely unprecedented. But the thing to remember here is that, for instance, in New York, this is not going to happen in time for the 2026 election. It's not going to happen until 2028 at the earliest. California would be probably 2030 before that would happen.
So it would be too late for the Democrats, because if the Republicans were to win the House by an increased majority, and it's razor thin at the moment, they could run anything they like through the Houses of Congress until the end of Trump's term.
Right. Basically, yes. If Republicans do win, you know, fair and square. I mean, the whole thing with this is Donald Trump fears that because of his policies and the razor thin that he has in Congress now, in the House now, that he's going to lose the majority next year in 2026. So these five seats in Texas, he's looking as an insurance policy.
I've been looking at some coverage of Republican town halls where Republicans are brave enough to face their electorate, and the welcome they get is not great.
Absolutely. And then many Republicans have stopped having town halls and were actually told by the National Party to stop having in-person town halls, do them remote where they could screen calls beforehand. I know here several in New York, several of the Republican seats, you know, for instance, the media, you cannot go in as a member of the media. You go in as a regular citizen and the questions are screened anyway. So it's something that they're facing angry constituents, and they're facing angry constituents who voted for Donald Trump in the last November.
Now, the way Trump is underwater, it's not just on Epstein, which is predictable enough, because the way they're handling this is very well. It certainly provokes suspicion. You know, the offering a deal perhaps to Ghislaine Maxwell, moving her from a fairly draconian regime in Tennessee up to a luxurious regime in Texas. It smells to high heaven. But he's underwater in terms of immigration.
He's underwater in terms of immigration. He's underwater in terms of the tariffs. But let's get back to immigration. It's because while people have said, and they voted for Donald Trump in November, that they are for tightening the borders. They're for some sort of they want control of the borders. But what they're seeing from ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is just this roundup of people, mostly based on the color of their skin. The ICE agents come in, they're wearing body armor, they cover their faces, and they're not grabbing the criminals. They're grabbing people who are showing up for their scheduled court appearance due for their citizenship or for their legal status. They're taking high school students out of class. And in one of the cases here in New York City is that they showed up at a Little League baseball game and started asking the kids who is citizen and who's not until the coach stepped in. So they're seeing that and they're not liking the way that is going.
Mm, they are saying this is not who we are or who we
Correct.
Think, who we like to
who
think we are.
Who we think we are, yes. That's the way.
Now, there are other things. Fox News, you know, ignoring Gaza effectively. They cover it really in a very minimal way. But they are obsessed by the Sidney Sweeney scandal. Now, this is a series of ads done for American Eagle jeans starring the Euphoria and White Lotus actress Sidney Sweeney. And people are a bit concerned that it might be punning on Jean, G-E-N-E, and J-E-A-N, it might be kind of a bit white supremacist. Have a listen to what Trump, though, has to say in response to these ads.
She's a registered Republican? Oh, now I love her ad. Is that right? It's Sidney Sweeney. Huh? You'd be surprised at how many people are Republicans. That's what I wouldn't have known, but I'm glad you told me that. If Sidney Sweeney is a registered Republican, I think her ad is fantastic.
So for those who are not familiar with this one, perhaps, Terry, you can explain.
All right. So it's an ad campaign, as you said, for American Eagle. And she is wearing a blue jeans. I'll say a suit. She's wearing jeans pants. She's wearing a jeans jacket. And as she's selling the jeans, she says, "My jeans are blue," while the camera focuses on her blue eyes. So you have some people who said that this ad is elevating theories of eugenics, that it's promoting white supremacy, that, you know, it's pushing the idea that being white, blonde, and blue-eyed is good. Of course, there was a backlash. J.D. Vance criticized Democrats in general. He said that they, you know, are attacking her because she's an all-American girl. And then it emerged that Sidney Sweeney is a registered Republican, although in all fairness to her, she hasn't made much about her political leanings and has tried to steer away from it, although it's believed many members of her family tend to be MAGA. So it's a tempest in a teapot. American Eagle stock has jumped 20%. We don't know what they've sold in the past couple of weeks, but it is, on the one hand, it is quite amusing.
And that's the point. I mean, you can take the ads at face value and they're cleverly written and so on. And then you can go, I suppose, more deeply into it. It'd be interesting talking to the copywriter to see what that copywriter intended of this particular campaign. But it certainly has been open to interpretation on right and on the left. Now, I mentioned Gaza in passing there, Terry. How much is America seeing on their television screens, on CNN, on Fox, on Newsmax, and all the rest of it about Gaza?
I would say on CNN and on more of the mainstream publications or outlets such as the New York Times, you're seeing a lot about Gaza and a lot of criticism about Netanyahu and about the American position on it. You're also seeing in America a turning of opinion or sharpening maybe of opinion about what's going on in Gaza and the starvation of children, the aid, the killing of people at food lines. So you are seeing it, I would say, in most mainstream outlets. As you said, where you're not seeing it is you're not seeing it on Fox or you're not seeing it on any of the right wing channels or just seeing very little of it. To give you an example, on Fox the other day, one of the hour programs, 6 minutes was dedicated to Sidney Sweeney. 2.5 minutes was dedicated to the situation in Gaza. Mm.
Now, I mentioned about the president's mental acuity, and we've seen him stumble physically as well as verbally in recent months. And if Biden had suffered the same misfortunes, he would have been pilloried and told he was unfit for office and so on. I want to play just one little piece where he was addressing the press at the alligator Alcatraz situation. And he was asked by one of the press about how long the prisoners might expect to be in alligator Alcatraz. And this is part of his response.
Mr. President, is there an expected time frame that detainees will spend here, days, weeks, months? And does that have anything to do with the immigration judges you just spoke about being trained and staffed here?
When you say, what was the first part of your question?
Is there a specific time frame you expect the detainees to spend here? Days, weeks, months?
In Florida?
Yes, here at Alligator Alcatraz.
I'm going to spend a lot. Look, this is my home state. I love it. I love your government. I love all the people around. These are all friends of mine. They know them very well. I mean, I'm not surprised that they do so well. They're great people. Ron has been a friend of mine for a long time. I feel very comfortable in the state. I'll spend a lot of time here. I want to, you know, for 4 years, I've got to be in Washington, and I'm okay with it because I love the White House.
And he goes on and on about his own time to be spent in Florida and misses the point of the question entirely. Now, it could be said that maybe he's hard of hearing, but it looks just like the man is not connected.
Or it could be said there's a little bit of both. I mean, again, he is at the age, and many of us, as we approach that age, you know, start to experience hearing loss. And there's been several times where he has misunderstood a question. But the other issue is, you know, what his confabulation, in which what he did there is either he didn't hear the question, didn't understand the question, and then just goes off on a tangent, you know, for times. There are all the times where he's made up stories that didn't exist. The most recent one, or the biggest most recent one, when he talked about his Uncle John, who was a professor at MIT, and about how Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was a student of his, and his uncle would talk about the brilliance of Ted Kaczynski. The problem is Kaczynski, one, didn't go to MIT. Two, his uncle had retired about 15 years before Kaczynski was even identified. So it's just different things, or different making things up. When he was talking about, you know, how drug prices are going to go down 1,500%. What does that mean? Does that mean the drug companies are going to pay me to take drugs? There are just certain things that are red flags.
Yeah, the red flags are quite clear now, because when he was talking with Ursula von der Leyen about the trade deal, he went off on a rant about windmills. I said, we won't have windmills in America, and they already have, of course, in various places. They spoil the scenery.
He hates windmills, and what the best we can figure of it is because of his golf course in Scotland, where he views them ruining the scenery there. But he has closed and shut down windmill production, offshore wind, or even onshore wind in the United States. So there are billions of dollars worth of projects that are now in limbo because he has canceled the rights to build offshore.
Now, one of the other aspects of this is that no one seems to stand up to him and correct him when he does make major gaffes. I mean, he talked about the United States giving $60 million to help feed the people of Gaza, and he said nobody said thank you. I mean, the idea, like, it's so inappropriate that the children who are starving should be saying thank you, Mr. President. But then he said no other country gave anything. Nobody acknowledged it. No one talks about it. Makes you feel a little bad when you do that. And you know you have other countries not giving anything. None of the European countries, by the way, gave. I mean, nobody gave but us. But of course, the UK announced $60 million back in July. The European announced $170 million in aid. And the Guardian, when it did a search, could find no evidence at all that the US gave $60 million 2 weeks ago. So
absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say, absolutely. That's stuff that he just makes up. And again, whether it's to deliberately deceive, which I think there is a little bit of that, or whether he just doesn't have grasp of the basic facts. And I think there's a little bit of that, but he'll just make things up on the fly. And that this whole thank you thing has been something that's been with him since his first term, where he does something and he says, oh, and no one even said thank you. In this case, you know, the $60 million, yes, no one is sure that it happened, or they doubt that. But he's like, well, I did this and no one said thank you. And that seems to be one of his, I don't want to say memes, but one of his themes.
All right, Terry, look, thank you very much for that roundup. There's never a dull moment in the United States at the moment, politically and socially. Terry Sheridan, who's a news director at WSU Public Radio, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.